If you're about to part ways with your phone or computer or thinking of selling it or trading it in, digital strategist Scott Kleinberg has some tips for us. Scott, good morning. This seems like a very useful checklist you've got here.
Yeah, good morning, Bob. I think it will be. It's actually one of the most common questions I get asked, so I thought it would be useful to bring it into our conversation today. And in addition to selling or trading a device, some of these will apply even if you're replacing your gear for something new and putting your old device in a closet or a drawer.
And when we're looking at it by device, phone, computer, is it mostly the same steps?
Yes and no. It really depends. There is a good amount of overlap, though. And it doesn't even have to be a phone or a computer, remember. These days, it could be a tablet or even a smartwatch.
Okay, so let's start with buying a phone. And that is something we all do often, don't we?
Yes, absolutely. On a phone, here's where I would start. First, you want to always make sure you back up important data. So you want to ensure that your important photos and your videos and your contacts and any other data are safely backed up either to a cloud service or to a computer so you don't lose anything valuable.
And we've talked about backing up. That is so important, isn't it?
Oh, it really is. And this is a great reason to always keep up with backing up, because if you do that often and regularly, then this step is mostly done. And remember, this is a step that can take a good amount of time depending on how much content you have in the device.
And I would assume the better the backup, the easier that process of setting up the new device will be, right?
Yeah, and that's a really great point. On a phone, most people opt for a cloud backup, so you can download everything right back in. If you don't use the cloud, yeah, there are ways to connect external devices to a new phone or tablet. But some people choose to start brand new and keep backups, you know, off new devices. But to your point, yes, the more organized you are, the better the process will likely be.
Is everybody like me? You kind of dread getting a new phone. You don't want to. Everybody says you got to upgrade, and then it's a big pain for a couple days, and then you think, "Wow, am I glad I did that?" Does that happen to you, or is that just me?
Sometimes, Bob, it is scary how much we are alike. That is exactly what I was thinking as you were asking that yes, you go through that feeling of, oh my God, this is so stressful, and then you're like, this is wonderful. So it is not just you.
All right. And they do, at least I know at the Apple Store, they make it as easy as possible, don't they?
Yeah, they really do. And I will say, there are people out there that just want to, like, order it through the mail and, like, have it come to them on the doorstep and do it by themselves. But I am that way. I would rather walk into an Apple store just to have it all done there. And the funny thing about that is, I know how to do it. I've been doing it for many years, and I'm talking with you about it now. But there's just something about being there and having them make it as simple as possible that just really eases your mind.
Digital strategist Scott Kleinberg going through some tips on what to do when we're getting a new phone and what to do with the old one. What's next, Scott?
Well, if your phone still has a SIM card, you want to remove it. And I say it like that because SIM cards, those are those little tiny cards that go in the side of the phone, they've moved away from physical and to electronic. So, for example, if you have an iPhone 14 or later, SIM cards are electronic. There's no physical card anymore. But a lot of us still have a 13 or earlier, and in that case, there is a physical card. So if there is an actual one, removing it can make your phone more secure and prevent issues related to your phone number, because all of that information resides on that card.
Very useful. What else do we need to know?
It's very important to perform a factory reset. It means you reset your phone to its factory settings, just like it came right out of the box. And when you erase that, you ensure that all your personal data is gone and your phone is back in its original pristine state. And this is wildly important, like we were talking about a few minutes ago, especially if you're selling the phone on your own or you're getting rid of the phone and you're not at a store. You want to make sure there's no trace of anything you've done previously on a phone that's now going to someone else. Now, there's a bit of forgiveness here if you're giving a phone to a family member or someone you trust. But even then, you don't want your data to go along with the transaction. So, like we were saying before, if you trade in a phone at an Apple store, the person helping you will actually take you through that step to perform the reset, and I've always found that helpful.
So with the SIM card removed and the factory reset, you should be in good shape, right?
You should be, yes, yes. One more thing that I always recommend is to also check and ensure that you removed your cases or your screen protectors. This is an interesting thing to think about. It seems like a minor thing, right? But some cases have pockets. And if you're not thinking, you can give away something important. People keep their credit cards in these pockets. Remember that a phone is something that you likely carry everywhere, and it's very easy to overlook something when making such a big change.
And if it's a computer, what then?
If it's a computer, well, keep in mind, computers and phones share many characteristics, things like backing up content, performing a factory reset. They're just as important no matter what you're using. Same on a tablet or a smartwatch. Certain things on a computer wouldn't qualify. There's no SIM card on a computer. Also, it's really important that you deauthorize software. So what this means is there are some types of software out there that limits the number of devices that it can be used on. You might remember, if you ever used iTunes, it would say 3 out of 5 of your computers are connected, things like that. So you want to deauthorize your computer to free up that authorization for whatever device you replace it with.
I get it. Mostly the same, but not exactly, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And I think using the phone checklist, though, is a great place to start for no matter what the device is, and then you can modify and adapt where needed. And I would say the most important thing to take away from all of this is your personal devices, no matter what they are, have a lot of personal data on them. And in many cases, like we were saying, you maybe have been using this device for many years. The average person right now upgrades a phone every 2 to 3 years, and that number has been going up as technology has improved. People are keeping their phones longer. There's less of a need to trade up. Computers, they're often several years longer. So the bottom line is whether it's a year or 3 or 10, there's a lot of personal information in this device. There's photos, there's metadata that shows the exact places you travel to and from every day. There's credit card information, and I didn't even mention all your passwords are in there.
Right. It's a lot, so you definitely don't want to rush through the process, do you?
Yeah, definitely not, and that's true. You want to perform the right steps to keep your personal data safe, and I think that has to be top of mind over anything else.
Now, these tips, Scott, they apply not just to Apple products or iPhones. This would be true for Android or other companies' devices, correct?
True for all devices, and that's a really good reminder. It's easier for me because I'm so used to using an iPhone, but yes, all of these tips apply no matter what type of device you're using.
All right, let's open up the Genius Bar, and we have a question for Scott from our text line. Good morning, Bob and Scott. Can you discuss the new Facebook problem? It's called Meta AI. Lots of concern out here. Love your morning show. Thank you. Is there concern about this? And what's this all about, Scott?
It's a really interesting question. And what it's all about first is it is, if you've seen anything like ChatGPT or Gemini or Bard, the smart assistant type of things, that's what Meta AI is. The difference between Meta AI and some of those other ones is they're building it into apps. So it works across Facebook, across Instagram. If you use WhatsApp, it works across that, across Messenger. And the point of it is it's supposed to make your life easier because it's like a search engine, but it's smarter. And everything that people put into these AI things, whether it's ChatGPT or Meta AI, it learns from each person's prompt. So it gets smarter over time. In some cases, it seems a little bit scary when you think about it that way, but it's actually really meant to save you time, and it's actually really meant to be smart. It's going to take time to see whether or not people trust to use it. The fact that it looks like a search bar means that people are probably just going to use it for search. It has a lot of potential. So right now, it's brand new. It's still rolling out across devices. Not everyone has it yet, but soon it'll be everywhere.
Yeah, when I saw this text, I thought, I'm not sure I know what this is about. Really, this is a Facebook problem? Can't you just ignore it? Or have I been ignoring it, or have I not seen it?
You probably haven't seen it, because if you go anywhere near a search, there's a big blue circle and it kind of like moves around. So it's kind of hard to miss if you have it.
Oh.
And it's interesting because some people do call it a problem, and I understand why, because it's like another level of, you know, search and things to learn. But in the long run, it may be really, really helpful. I would just try it, test it, you know, enter some things in that you might find helpful and see what kind of results it returns.
Scott Kleinberg, until next Tuesday. Thank you, Scott. Have a good day.
You too, Bob. Thank you.